Joe, you put up any more pictures of food up there and we're going to go eat. You will turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm going to start reading in verse 4. And the Bible says, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with all, full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols and served the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." There is nothing scarier than a Christian who is passionate about their faith. Those who are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, those who are willing to do whatever it takes to live like one who has been chosen by God. And such a Christian, doesn't matter if they're male or female, often makes us uncomfortable because we see in them something that we want to see in ourselves, but for some reason or another, we're reluctant to become. Live out what we believe would be automatically causing people to see us differently than what we are this very moment. When I think about the church we read of in the book of Acts, we see congregations that Paul starts, and then he leaves them without a lot of deep training. And I'm amazed to read letters like the one that we find here in 1 Thessalonians. These folks here had been saved for only a short time, and yet their reputation has gone out far and wide. What has been said about them is that they have become transformed people. These same people who not long before had worshiped and followed after idols, and not just one or two, but many. Now they are standing up for the true God. What causes people to live such changed lives back in those days, and even today for that fact? How can people, or else how can we as people who have been in the fellowship of Christ for many years have such a passion and reputation? Let's look at 4 and 5 again. And as you read that, I let you know that I do not believe in the doctrine of predestination. Predestination has been taught many different ways by a lot of different denominations, all of it inaccurately. But I do believe that God has called, chosen, or even marked out those who believe and has marked them with his Holy Spirit. Not that God only saves some and desires to eternally punish the majority, because that would be contrary to Scripture. But I do believe that according to the fullness of God's written word, that God draws people through their faith. This idea of being chosen by God or marked by God for something special, in this case, showing the world the saving message, more accurately helps us to see the fullness of the salvation account that Paul here in this letter is referring to. Now let us explore for just a moment the idea of being chosen and marked by God. Ask yourself what has God called you to do and to be? And are we living up to that calling? No Christian since the church was established at Pentecost. Has God ever called a Christian to simply be a taker of salvation and not be a giver of God's good works? We aren't called to just be saved, but we are also called to produce. Many wear the helmet of salvation. They leave off the rest of the armor of God. And God has marked each one of us. He has called out each one of us, just as he did with the brethren here in Thessalonica. Living the calling of God not only identifies us as someone different from the world, but it also allows God's message to come to live in a world that rarely seeks to understand God's will. We are called, we are chosen to be the beacon through which God can continue to touch the lives of those around us. I love how Paul writes to the Christian at Ephesus, and where he says to them in Ephesians 2 and verses 4 through 7, and he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." I'd like us to focus on the wording in verse 7. What Paul is trying to say is that God wants to show off Christians, to show his own surpassing grace, that grace that can be seen in each and every one of us. God wants the world to see chosen people so that they understand what it's like to be chosen by God. When all the miseries of the world is all around us, and people look in our faces and see joy and happiness, you gotta wonder, are they wondering how you can be that way? How do we become the type of Christian that God likes to show off? In verses 5 through 7, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul says, "Because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you become imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." Flattery is the greatest, or imitation is the greatest form of flattery. We've all heard that statement. But imitation is also the greatest tool in education. When we don't know how to do something, how many of us has gotten onto YouTube and Googled it to figure out how to do something? Whether it's making some new cake or whether it's trying to fix your lawnmower or your car or one of the kids' toys. You look at the video on how to do it. You watch it several times, and then you follow the steps that someone else has taken so that you can end up with the same result. Imitation. Imitating. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 13 and verse 7, he puts it this way. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. In 3 John verse 11, John puts it this way, Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate that which is good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. What are our examples of faith? What are our imitations of faith? What are we doing to emulate the godly character that we see from those in these scriptures, that we also see in the life of Christ? Paul tells them in Thessalonica and us also that they were chosen by God, and that was seen, but how they lived. When we go out to our work tomorrow, does anybody see us as if we have been chosen by God? These people imitated their spiritual leaders like Paul and Timothy and Silas. They imitated God even though they were facing a lot of affliction because of their new way of living. Do you think Rome was happy with these people? Because that's who some they lived under. Paul tells them that the result of such transformation is found in verses 8 through 10. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Paul didn't have to say anything to anybody. Everybody else was seeing it. We need to be this type of a people. We need to be the type of a people who receives the word of God and allow it to transform us. Make that change in us. We should want to have a life that is open to God's hand in molding us and making us after his will. Are we willing to change? Are we willing to be molded into something different than we are this very moment? Are we willing, when we see the sinfulness in ourselves, to change? Change is hard. Change is extremely difficult. We have spent many years becoming the very person that we are today. And yet God is expecting us to change that. For For many years, we have been taught many things that have come from human wisdom and not divine wisdom. And the most difficult thing that we do in this life is to admit the need to change the way that we think and the way that we act. These Christians here in Thessalonica did exactly that. They changed the way they thought. They changed the way they acted. The very message of God rang out. Not only did it ring out in the area in which they lived, but it rang out far and wide. Everyone was seeing their faith and perseverance. Thessalonica was on one of the leading highways of its time. Many people traveled through that city, primarily for trade. What people found when they came through there was a community of Christians who showed the world what it's like to display a faith that changes. A faith that is marked by the Holy Spirit. That change can only come from God. You're sitting in a theater watching a movie, and someone didn't read the sign coming in, and their cell phone goes off. That's annoying, isn't it? Tomorrow morning, you're in a deep sleep, and all of a sudden, your alarm clock goes off. That's annoying, isn't it? But the sound of the good news of Christ ringing out from the people of God is a glorious thing. There was an interesting phrase that I had read at one time. It said, "We will never change the world by going to church. Will only change the world by being the church." There is a message that's true and glad for the sinful and the sad, and we need to ring it out. It will give them courage new. It will help them to be true. Ring it out. Ring it out. If there's anyone here this evening who is in need of the prayers, or maybe this is the opportunity you would like to take. To become a part of God's church. Through repentance and confession and baptism, God will add you to his church, will give you the hope of eternal life. And if you remained faithful throughout your life, you will be given that crown of life. Maybe we just need prayers. Maybe there's something going on in our lives that has caused us to do things we don't normally do. Maybe we just need strength, prayers for strength. If there's any that has a need, won't you come us together? We stand and we sing.